Right now, it is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning. We talk about food. We talk about recipes. It won't be any different today. We say good morning to Arthur. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, Marshall. I really don't want to talk about food. But here I am. It's so hot, I don't like even want to think about food. I don't know. Has it been murderous up there?
It's been very hot. But, you know, this summer, over the winter, there's a brand-new air conditioning company called Capsule. Begins with a K. And their air conditioner is about $800 an air conditioner, okay? But this winter, they had a sale, $500 a piece. And I had old air conditioners, and so I purchased two of them, and I put them in. And Arthur, they are the quietest air conditioners.
Oh, this is what I'm looking for.
Yeah, and they are the quietest air conditioners I've ever had, both inside and also outside. So they're very easy to.
And the brand again?
Capsule, K-A-P-S-U-L.
K-A-P-S-U-L. I'll have to check this out because my air conditioners are over 20 years old. And they work fine, gotta say. Panasonic, I'm looking. They're all Panasonic. But they're not quiet.
Oh, these are.
In fact, I'm now going to turn. The air conditioner is right next to me, and I turned it off because I thought it was too noisy for the radio. But I just turned it back on, and we'll see.
Okay.
It does get its quiet times. Maybe it'll behave itself right now.
Well, these air conditioners are so quiet. Air fresheners, you know, the air fresheners and the air filters are louder than this air conditioner.
Oh, well, right now it's behaving itself, so
all
let's
right.
proceed here.
All right.
But I'm not, listen, my kitchen is adjacent to my office, which is where I'm sitting right now. And the air does get cooled in the kitchen somewhat. But I've complained about this for many summers. I think it's both my refrigerators give off a lot of heat, and my stove, although I love it, it gives off a lot of heat. So I don't really want to eat or cook in here any on days like this, but I've been forced to. I did yesterday turn the oven on because I wanted to finish off this great steak that I'd purchased and needed to cook. I have no outdoor space, and I never got standing over a hot grill. I don't see where that was any. Ooh, yes, the meat's going to taste better, but that was an alternative to be in the kitchen. What I eat in these days is mainly cold food, and I'm not averse to eating cold pasta, of which I have a whole repertoire of cold pasta dishes. I was thinking about this yesterday. Actually talking about it yesterday with my next-door neighbor, who is also of Eastern European descent. And the both of us, our go-to dish when the weather gets like this is noodles with cottage cheese. And the noodles do not have to be freshly made. You can make the noodles in the morning when it's possible to bring water to the boil and then just dress them with some butter. And then later on you could put on your cottage cheese. But I actually like it when the noodles are hot and the cottage cheese sort of melts a bit. But that's just one of a zillion things I can do with noodles in the summer. But here's one. I don't make this often enough, but, you know, when I have to put my mind to what I'm going to talk about on Monday morning, I thought about this one. And here's the recipe I actually have in my files. I'm not sure that this was ever published, but it's, I would call it sugo crudo, raw sauce. Crudo means raw. And I made this penne con sugo crudo, but you can do other pastas. I like a tubular pasta here. But the sauce is not a sauce. It's just a whole bunch of chopped stuff. So the chopped stuff is a third of a cup to a half a cup of minced celery, a third of a cup, more or less, of minced onion. However, this is my old recipe. These days, I'm more likely to use scallions, a third of a cup of finely minced scallion, a generous cup, meaning an overflowing cup, of cherry tomatoes, and I cut them into small pieces. It really depends on the tomato, how small you want to go. A quarter of an inch is plenty small, but you can just cut them into quarters if you like. Raw garlic. I use a lot of raw garlic. And by the way, I have no problem with aglio olio, with raw garlic and raw olive oil. Aglio olio means garlic and oil. And most people cook the garlic in olive oil and then put it on top of the pasta, maybe with some hot pepper and parsley, one or the other or both. However, I prefer it all raw. Raw garlic, raw olive oil, boil your pasta, eat it hot, eat it cold, any which way, salt, pepper, hot pepper if you like, and that's all you need to me. If you really need a protein to go with that, you could toss in a can of tuna fish. So, anyway, back to my crudaiola. I call it crudaiola, which in Italy can mean a lot of different things. This is a particular recipe that I got from a chef who served it to me in his restaurant in Alberobello, so which is a big tourist mecca in Puglia. I say tourist mecca because it's very picturesque. It's got all these what are called trulli, these conical roofed buildings, but in Alberobello there's a very, very large, let's call it community of them, and many, many of them are shops selling very wonderful handcrafted things and touristy things. Anyway, back to my crudaiola. A large clove of garlic, finely minced, chopped any which way you like. And you have to have something fresh, like an herb, and, you know, a nice cup of fresh basil leaves, shredded, is perfect. If you don't have access to basil this time of the year, we all have access to basil. Mint is good. Mint is very good. Parsley is good. You can mix the two together. You need some salt. Now, either hot red pepper flakes or freshly ground black pepper. And a substantial amount of olive oil. So after you put all these things in a bowl, now, of course, cooking is chopping, and slicing. So this is cooking, just no heat applied. And then you pour over at least a third of a cup, maybe a half a cup of your best olive oil, because this is not going to get cooked. You're really going to taste the oil. And if you like, you can put in some cheese, diced mozzarella, diced... Now, by the way, this is... I learned about this as soon as I got on the radio. That's 30 years ago. A woman called and told me that her father refused to call the mozzarella. In those days, the only mozzarella you could get was wrapped in plastic. Polio, I guess, was the main brand. And it was wrapped in plastic, and it was like a rubber ball. So she said, my father refused to call that mozzarella. He referred to it as scamorza. Well, the fact is, scamorza is a drier, slightly older cheese than mozzarella, meaning you make it exactly the same way, but allow for less moisture. And then, it could be aged even a little bit. It could be smoked. And that's what you buy in the supermarket wrapped in plastic. These days, we can buy much better mozzarella than that. But if you think about it as scamorza, it may not be good mozzarella, but it's very good scamorza. So if that's all that you have access to, it's fine. Just cut it into little cubes so it sort of gets a little bit melty. But that's if you're eating this hot. I don't eat this hot. I would put this in it. It's like a salad, It's like a spaghetti salad, you could say. And I do like the celery in here. And these days, I tend to put in more celery. And as I said, instead of onion, even red onion, I use scallions. But any which way, it's not important. Other things, I always think, it's interesting. I go back to my Eastern European culinary roots when the weather gets like this. I don't know why. I don't think I have to cook my grandmother's soups necessarily in the middle of the winter. I make other soups. But this time, I said the go-to is noodles with pot cheese or cottage cheese. But another thing I like to eat a lot these days is, you know, this is one of my few Asian dishes, is cold noodles with, I don't know, you could call it sesame sauce, but in truth, it's really peanut butter sauce. And it's also one of those things that, you know, I wrote a book called What to Cook When You Think There's Nothing in the House to Eat. This is one of those things that almost everybody can make. If you do even the slightest bit of Asian cooking, you will have some of this, these ingredients in your pantry. So this is enough, by the way. This is enough sauce, enough. Oh, let me say, do we remember back to the late 1960s, the immigration laws changed, and suddenly we were chefs from the mainland of China, we then called Red China, were able to come to the U.S., and whereas the food of New York's Chinatown, and I suppose all Chinatowns at that point, including San Francisco, was mainly Cantonese-style food, of course influenced by the fact that they were here in the U.S. with more abundance than it was in China, just briefly to say how things change. But anyway, new chefs came in, and including chefs from parts of China that were not Canton, including a man named Shorty. I don't know what his real first name was, but his last name was Tang, Shorty, and everybody called him Shorty Tang. And he opened in 1969, just the year after the immigration laws changed. He opened up a restaurant in Chinatown called the Hua Huan Sichuan Inn at 40 East Broadway. There is still a Hua Huan Sichuan Inn. I should say again, because it closed many years ago, but then was reopened. I'm not sure if it's in Shorty's family or not. But anyway, Shorty died soon after he came to the U.S., and his family carried on after him, as if he was not dead. In fact, in 1977, you got to remember this is 6 years after the guy died, a guidebook cited him as being the culinary teacher of almost every Sichuan chef in town. They seemed not to know that he'd already been dead for 6 years. Anyway, the noodles, this recipe is supposedly the original cold noodles with sesame sauce. I used to go to this restaurant in the late 60s, early 70s, and there were other things that you ate there besides the noodles. But for some reason, a good reason, it's a terrific dish. It's easy to make. The recipe is everywhere. It's probably online somewhere. I didn't even look. I made this for many years when I had no kitchen to speak of, when I lived in Tudor City. And I used to make this and then serve it with a lot of salad-type ingredients plus a protein, maybe a rotisserie chicken shredded up or cut up, or shrimp was always a good one. Anyway, I sort of did it a make-your-own noodle dish with several different possible toppings. But here's the sauce. It's real. By the way, so you make your noodles, and these days I have no problem at all using Italian spaghetti or linguine. If you have access to fresh Chinese egg noodles, that's probably better, but really no need to go out of your way for them. So you boil up your pasta, a pound of noodles, of linguine or spaghetti, and as soon as they come out, you can rinse them because this is going to be a salad, but I just toss it with a tablespoon of vegetable oil, and that prevents it all from sticking together. And then I make the sauce, more or less a half a cup of peanut butter. Now, in the old days, it was easy to get Chinese sesame paste, and I guess if you can find it, buy it. But I use peanut butter these days, and I use not a natural peanut butter. I mean, natural, but not a one of these that separates, because I'm tired of stirring peanut butter in the morning. So I buy, a major brand, creamy style. It could be crunchy, but I like creamy. And this is the base of your sauce. To make it taste like sesame, add sesame oil. So I stir into the peanut butter about a half a cup or more, you maybe want to add a little more later, of warm water, about 6 tablespoons of soy sauce. You want to use light soy sauce? Great. 2 tablespoons, more or less, of vinegar. I use rice wine vinegar because I always have some in the house, but apple cider vinegar does extremely well. If pressed, I would use plain old white distilled vinegar. I said two tablespoons of sesame oil. That's to give it the sesame flavor, but peanut butter and sesame is pretty close. And then you want to spice it up. Now, this is up to you. I use about a half, more or less a half a teaspoon of cayenne pepper. But you could go up to a teaspoon if you really like it spicy. A tablespoon of sugar, a teaspoon of salt. You're going to need a little extra salt. A tablespoon of finely chopped garlic. That's going to be like 2 large cloves of garlic. And that's it. Stir that all together. And when you're ready to serve, toss this with the noodles and coat them with the sauce. And then garnish the whole thing with sliced or chopped scallions, cucumber, and if you like coriander, fresh coriander, cilantro. I don't know. One of these days I have to do a little research on this and find out why we call fresh coriander cilantro and coriander seed coriander. But in English, in parlance, that's what it is. Do you have any idea, Marshall?
None. I have no idea.
I mean, and by the way, when I was young, there was no such thing as cilantro, because New York had yet to become a Hispanic city. We called it Chinese parsley. So there you go. That was the main use of fresh coriander in those days. We're talking late 60s, early 70s. The main use was in Chinese cooking. So anyway, this is a delicious sauce. You can use it for other things. I mean, things other than noodles. Vegetables, you know, it's a good dipping sauce for cold vegetables. Just like, you know, you could make it into a salad with the noodles, you can make it into a salad without the noodles. Now, another possibility here, I'm just full of cold noodle ideas because it's the only thing that appeals to for me to eat. Bob always says, you know, what do you want to cook today? No, the question I ask myself is, what do I want to eat today? Because, I got to cook it. I haven't been to a restaurant in quite a while. So, one more thing. I did do this, actually, the other day. I made a very large quantity. It's interesting. The first thing, I know what's in season now by my Facebook posts. I always say the only misinformation I get on the internet is a pan size and baking temperature, because most of my stuff is about food. A lot of my food friends have gardens. So I had a laugh because about 3-4 people one day last week posted that, finally we got a cucumber. Now they're going to come so fast we won't know what to do with them. Well, I'll tell you what to do with them. You mix them with yogurt and garlic and mint. And if you don't have fresh mint, I use dry mint, and I actually like it better. Dill is a good one, too. So, now, I think I did this a few weeks ago, because when I made what I call tzatziki, in Turkish, tzatziki, it depends on where you are, but how you pronounce it, but it's basically the same grated cucumbers. I like to grate them. Excuse me. Mixed with yogurt. I prefer regular whole milk yogurt, but if you are a fan of strained yogurt, that works great too. Strained yogurt is Greek yogurt, now sold by other names. In the old days, we had to strain our own yogurt, which I did. Labneh is another name for a strained yogurt. And I grate my garlic these days on the microplane. I think that's the best use of a microplane, is for grating garlic. So one large clove of garlic for one cup of yogurt, and I would say two cucumbers. This is going to make it thick, tzatziki. I peel the cucumbers and I seed the cucumbers. I don't salt the cucumbers. I grate them on the coarse side of my box grater. I have a very good box grater that works very well. I mean, it's very sharp. And I mentioned this last time I talked about it. It's once you've seeded the cucumber, it's not so easy to hold onto the grater. You may have to squish it a bit, but that's okay. You know, it doesn't matter, because in the end, what I want you to do is, before you add the yogurt, squish the squeeze out moisture from the cucumber. And this way, it doesn't thin out the yogurt as it sits there with a little salt. And by the way, if you use Greek yogurt, you don't have to worry about this so much. But I use plain yogurt, you know, real regular yogurt. And that yogurt can get thin. So that's it. Salt, pepper, and whatever herb you can put in. I always have dried mint, and it works extremely well with this. And that, tossed with some wide egg noodles, they can be cold, or you can toss them and then let it sit even. As somebody who, as a kid, loved going to my next-door neighbor's because she always had cold spaghetti in the refrigerator, and she knew I loved it, I have no trouble eating noodles that have been tossed with whatever and eaten cold. I could even do it with tomato sauce. But I when I do it with tomato sauce these days, I put on a lot of hot pepper. But leftover spaghetti the next day out of the fridge.
There's nothing better.
With a lot of hot pepper.
Than a spaghetti sandwich the next day it's cold. It's so bad for you, but there's nothing better, especially if somebody knows how to make the sauce and they don't dress it the wrong way. Spaghetti sandwiches are outstanding.
I've never had a spaghetti sandwich.
Oh, my God, you're missing out.
Just plain old spaghetti with
meat
tomato sauce.
With marinara, or meat. Doesn't matter. You put it on two slices of bread, and you're in heaven. Especially if you have some crusty Italian bread. Oh, my God.
Well, you know, if I have good Italian bread, it doesn't need much enhancement. And I have really good butter. So that would be more than I need. I don't know. I have very little appetite in this weather. So my cravings reduce. On the other hand, I wouldn't mind an ice cream. I did have a soft serve ice cream for breakfast a few days ago. And then I decided I better quit while I'm ahead here. One a week is enough. But no, I love ice cream. It's my downfall. And this is ice cream weather. And plus, two new ice cream parlors have opened in Park Slope. And I haven't tried either yet.
Here at the new French restaurant, Le Gamin, they opened up an ice cream parlor.
Oh.
With the French ice cream.
Oh.
Yes. It's a hit. It's a huge hit.
Did I mention this last week? Because this got stuck in my brain. Strawberries Romanoff. What made me think of it just now is, what I used to do is I used to melt French vanilla ice cream. So it actually became a custard sauce. And then fold whipped cream into that with a little Grand Marnier, wouldn't hurt. And then that goes on strawberries.
That sounds good.
That's a hot weather thing. Melt your ice cream.
I watch all these food things. They got a new thing out called an ice cream maker. You take like a can of fruit. And you freeze it, put in your freezer, and you put this in there, and it doesn't make ice cream. You don't make ice cream that way.
No, well, let me just say, that's as old as the hills.
Yeah.
As old as the hills. Excuse me. know, but who needs a machine to do it?
Yeah.
You just throw it in the blender.
Yeah.
I don't know. Listen, I have had a week of technological mishaps, let's call them, starting with a whole new internet system in my house. It took a whole week until yesterday afternoon. Not a whole week, but 5 days anyway, to get everything running. I learned in the process of this that all my hardware was obsolete. It's so obsolete that the next generation, that Verizon is giving away the next generation of hardware because it's obsolete. So I actually paid some money to have the latest and greatest installed, figuring I at least I'll get maybe 10 years out of it before my TV only needed two plugs, one for the wall and one for a tiny cable.
Yeah.
You're technological, so you don't get it with guys like me who can't master this.
Well, no, I'll be honest with you. When anything's upgraded by these companies, even technological people like me that deal with it have to spend more time on it than is worth.
Let me just say this to my final negative note, is that Verizon, who is my provider, is that what you call them?
Yeah.
I get my internet, my phone, my everything from them, is impossible to deal with. That to get anybody on the phone could take days. And then when you finally get somebody on the phone and you tell them what your problem is, they don't believe you, so they have to start all over again. I had this for 3 weeks. So finally I did find somebody who knew what he was talking about and who sent and said, oh, I know what the problem is. All your hardware is obsolete.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
So anyway, it has nothing to do with cold noodles.
Well, I tell you what, I think you've given a lot of people a lot of things to work
about.
Well,
let me just say one little thing here about cold noodles. It's better to use oil on cold noodles than butter, because butter solidifies on cold noodles. It's not that pleasant.
Yeah.
You want olive oil, avocado oil, sesame oil, some kind of oil. And, I mean, if you're doing Italian food, no problem, olive oil. If you're doing Asian food, the peanut butter and the sesame, for instance, have a lot of oil. And you can just dress, oh, by the way, I could just dress some cold noodles with sesame oil and salt and pepper, and I am really happy.
Yeah, my mother taught me to dress them with some olive oil and a little bit of garlic salt, because she liked garlic.
I'm not a garlic salt fan.
Well, it's nice when you don't want to spend the time crushing it up and mixing it in.
Well, yeah. I like to do that.
I know. Well, of course you would, because you know what you're doing.
No, it's easy, and it's fresh. It tastes different. It does taste different. I told you, there was a pizzeria around the corner from me in Manhattan on 2nd Avenue that used to use garlic powder, and the ventilation was out onto the street, so I had to cross the street to go by this pizzeria because I couldn't take the smell from them.
I don't like garlic powder, but I'll use garlic salt.
Garlic, I think it's the same.
I don't know. No, it's not.
One's mixed with salt.
Yeah.
I don't know. Granulated garlic. I see this as an ingredient. By the way, if you watch the barbecue channel or whatever it is, all those barbecue shows, which I enjoy, except for the fact that a lot of these guys just mix up a lot of supermarket spices. I used to call that fraternity house cooking. You know, my friends in the fraternity would just go into the pantry and take out six different spices and put it on one steak. So that's, anyway, they use a lot of garlic and onion powder. Right. And I see even some respectable and people I respect, food writers, using garlic powder as an ingredient. All right.
All right. Well, stay cool.
It's the 1950s all over again.
Yeah. Stay cool.
Yeah, well, I'm trying.
All right.
The air conditioner didn't act up the whole
thing. No, not at all. Not at all.
Good boy.
Okay, Arthur, I'll speak to you next week.
Bye.
Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, here on Robin Hood Radio.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, Hillsdale Home Chef. More information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.